Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you and to be speaking about the book of Samuel today. Did anyone notice what word was spoken when the computer made a bit of a sound? It was when it said everyone's ears in Israel, their ears were starting to tingle. Did everyone notice that? Well, it's just absolutely bizarre. At the 8 o'clock service this morning, as that Bible was being read, there was no one at the back. And at exactly the same time, at tingle, it went bling. And at the 9:15 service, it happened too. 3 out of 3. This is just uncanny. So, well, I'm just going to do a sermon on ears tingling today. Well, but there is something about the Word of God that makes our ears tingle. Well, they could. But some of us at times are so, our ears are so full of blockages, or we've got fingers in our ears that we don't want to listen. So our ears can't tingle with the Word of God because we're just defiant. I don't want to hear it. Or we might be so distracted that we wouldn't hear the words of God. It might be that we're always listening to something else, that we can't hear the word of God. Or it might be that every spare moment we're doing something that our ears can't tingle when we hear the word of God because we're distracted. I pray that as we think about the word today, that God will remove anything from our ears, that we can hear it, that our ears might tingle and then so might our spirits soar as we engage with the words that God might have for us. The time of Samuel in this book was a really pivotal time in the people of Israel. They had had Moses years before, who led them so well. They were going with a purpose when Moses was there. It was never perfect, but nonetheless, they had a leader who was directional and they gathered behind Moses relatively well. They saw the power of God at work, not just in miracles, but also in the law. And they were quite willing to follow along behind Moses, as they were with Joshua. They were willing to get behind Joshua and follow him when they entered the promised land. But after the time of Joshua, the leaders were few and far between. There are a few judges that were raised up in the people of Israel, but for the most part, when the judges weren't there, for the most part, during the time of the judges, people did what was right in their own eyes, rather than in the ways of God or the way that God might see it. They would just think, oh, what do I want to do? And I'll do that. This was in the people that God had called from Egypt, delivered them to be his people, and they were doing things, whatever was right in their own eyes. Does that sort of sound familiar to our world today? Doing what is right in our own eyes with no reference to God? It does. It absolutely does. This is, in fact, how we live as a society mostly. Whatever's good for me, whatever I see fit, I'll do whatever I want. But for God's people, this is not the way. And unfortunately, at the time of Samuel, last week we heard that Samuel got brought to the temple or the tabernacle and was left with Eli. If you had have kept reading after chapter 1 last week, you'd get to the story of Eli and his sons in chapter 2. And here, doing what was right in your own eyes was also within the tabernacle, because Eli's sons were really stealing from the people who were coming to do offerings, and they were also being quite promiscuous and horrible. They were sleeping with ladies in the tabernacle, in the house of the Lord, people who were coming to the tabernacle. And Eli went and said to his sons, "Oh, this isn't good. Stop doing it." But they didn't stop. And then Eli just let them keep going. But Eli was responsible, but he didn't take responsibility. And because of this, it was spoken over Eli's house that his house would no longer be able to be the priests, and that his line, so to speak, would come to an end. It was a really sad state that even in the house of the Lord, they were doing what was right in their own eyes rather than the things that God would have them. And it's into that context that we hear this story today. Samuel has grown up a bit. And we read that he's grown up a bit because he was in the house of the Lord by himself. In fact, it was just before he became a man. So he probably would have been 10 or 11. That's sort of when they graduated from being a kid to a man. He was still referred to as a boy, about getting close to not being. And the boy Samuel, we'll read in chapter 3, was ministering before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. And we hear in this chapter that Eli's eyes were so weak. And I think his eyes were weak not only in seeing, but also his eyes were now weak in seeing what was right and being able to do something about it. He had become weak, not only in his eyesight, but also in his spiritual authority, because he had allowed these things to go on in the tabernacle of God. So not only weak in his eyes, but also on what he would call to account. And now Samuel was in the tabernacle at night, doing the role that Eli should have, keeping the lamp of God burning through the night and watching over the tabernacle of God. Samuel was now in that place. And God was about to raise someone else up to take the mantle and start to lead the people of God into a new direction. Samuel was asleep and he heard his name called out. And so he heard his name and he woke up and he went straight out to where Eli was. "Yes, Lord, I'm here. You called me." "Oh, no, go back to sleep. I didn't call you." He goes back again. Falls back asleep. He hears the voice again. Out he goes. "Yes, you called me." "No, I didn't. Go back." Sleep. Hears the voice. "Yes, Lord, I spoke." "No, I didn't." Now, do you know what I thought when I read this earlier in the week? Why can't my kids be like that? Far out. It takes four goes just to get them to look up, right? Unless you say chocolate first. Then they're out. That happened last night, didn't it? Cindy said chocolate and Levi came flying out. Oh, no, I was joking. He was not impressed. So I do hope Rob is out there this morning teaching them to be like Samuel in listening when they're called. But there's something about being attentive when you are called, to actually recognizing it and coming out. And that's what Samuel was doing. He was obedient to the voice whom he recognized as an authoritative voice. If I hear his voice, I'm going to come. He recognized that in his superior, Eli. And Eli, after a while, realized, hang on, the Lord, he's trying to tell you something. So next time you hear that voice, say, "Speak. Your servant is listening." And that's exactly what happened. Yahweh spoke to Samuel. Originally, Samuel, he didn't realize it was God just because he didn't know, not because he was trying to miss that voice. But once he was ready to hear, God actually spoke to him something really tough. It was a tough message for a boy to hear about his supervisor and mentor, or almost father, because he spent most of his life with Eli. God gave him a hard message to say what has been spoken before about Eli, that his house is actually going to fall apart. That is true. Every one of those things I've spoken before about Eli is going to come to pass. That's a hard word to give. It would have been an easy thing to say when Eli the next day said to Samuel, "You tell me what God said," to say, "Oh, no, nothing." No, he said nothing. He just said, "Enjoy. So I'm going to send some more manna or something down the track." It would have been easy to go on a sidetrack and not give actually the word that God had spoken, to make it more palatable, to make it easier. But he didn't. He was willing to honor the word that God had given, and he gave it to Eli. And to Eli's credit, he actually said something quite good. He said, I'm just getting back to chapter 3. He said, "He is the Lord." This is in verse 18. "Let him do what is good in his eyes." So here Eli is not saying, "Oh, we'll do what is right in our own eyes." No, whatever God says is good, then let that be. So credit to Eli for even willing to accept. And I think he knew it was coming, though, because it had already been spoken. It just confirmed that his house was no longer going to be the ones that represented God. No longer. But Samuel was faithful. He recognized the voice of God. He heard it, and then he spoke it. Well, friends, now I'm going to move on a little bit from Samuel, but to us. In that Samuel heard a word, he was called to speak, and he gave it. And what I wanted to really step into, just to ask the question, are there times that God wants to speak to us, for us to pass on a word to others? Sometimes God will speak to us for us. Sometimes he might speak to us so that we can speak to others, like Samuel did. As we were reading through this chapter 3, we also heard that Samuel didn't quite yet know the voice of God, even though he'd been in the temple for a while. In fact, he didn't really know God at all. He'd been in the tabernacle, but didn't know him. And I guess, friends, that's the starting point for all of us. If you're wanting to hear the voice of God, the first step is to recognize him. And if you want to recognize God, the way to do that is to get to know him by getting to know Jesus, our Master, our Lord, our Messiah, our Savior. The first step to knowing the voice of God is to start to follow the commands that have been given so clearly by Jesus when he says to come and follow me. That's the first voice we can yield to without hearing anything else. We can hear the call to become a disciple, or as the early church used to say a lot, is a walker, someone who walks with Jesus. That's how we'll start to hear the voice. We'll hear his voice to say, forgive, to love, to be generous, to pray. And if we're not listening to that voice, can we expect to hear any more? What do you think? I reckon that's our starting point, to start to listen and act on the words that we know have been spoken by God in Jesus Christ. Right, we've all got plenty to go on with there. I could probably stop, right? But I think we all want more. I actually do think we would all want to hear more from God than just what's in here. And when I say just, I don't mean to belittle it, but there's, because this is awesome. The scriptures are awesome, but there are other things that God might want to say to us. We're told that when the Spirit comes, He will lead us, that He will guide us into truth, that He'll empower us, that He'll give us words to say where we don't know what to say, that He'll help equip us to talk to our neighbours and our friends, that He'll empower us to preach and proclaim the message. And I do want to suggest that God can speak to us today. Now, granted that the voice that Samuel got was audible. It was an audible voice if you read through this passage. And it's pretty rare, although I've met a couple of people who have said that they've heard audible voices. It's more rare to hear the actual audible voice than not. So I just want to put that out there. You might. I don't want to say you can't, because you obviously can. Samuel heard an audible voice, but that's not the most common way we tend to hear now. Paul heard an audible voice when he was confronted by Jesus. Elijah, the apostles did when they were on the mountain and God said, "This is my son whom I love. I'm well pleased. Listen to him." But for the most part, there are other ways that God speaks to us. I've already said through the scriptures. But there are also sometimes God speaks to us in dreams. Sometimes He speaks to the church in visions. Sometimes He speaks to people in thoughts. And other times He speaks to people with impressions. Now, in thinking about all these things, I have to really underline these things that we hear need to be, if we're going to think that they're from God, need to be for good. They need to be also in line with what the Scripture talks about, the character of God and what the Scripture teaches. They also would need to glorify God. And the Bible also tells us to test the Spirit on things like this. If we think that something's from God, that it's actually really wise for us to ask someone else that we trust in God, someone who's wise, and not just assume it is, because sometimes we might have had a bad pizza or something and we're off with the fairies. So it's really good to have people around us that we can go and talk to and say, "Look, I feel that this is something that God has said to me. What do you think?" And they might just say, "Forget it." And this is why it's important to ask someone wise, because you'll be able to wrestle with them and it'll be safe to talk to them about it as well. But in order to talk about this, the first thing that I would want us to say in opening up even just the idea that God might speak to us is to stand like Samuel did. When he went back to his bed that last time, Eli said to him, "Go back, and when you hear the voice, say, 'Speak, your servant is listening.'" What I'd want to say to each of us is the starting point would be that when we read the scriptures or any other time is to come to it or to come to prayer and say, "Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. Is there anything you want to show me or say to me today?" I heard last week after the service that someone, when they go for meetings with people, they'll say, "Lord, is there anything you would like me to say to today?" Like even just asking that question provides the space. Remember I talked before about distractions or fingers in ears. It provides the space for us to maybe be able to hear. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So now I've created this space talking about this. Now I'm going to give four little examples of where I've seen this work. and God used words given to really affect people. One was at a camp where I was praying and I just said, Lord, please, is there anything you want me to say to this person? And I, at that point, felt a real pain in my stomach. And then I felt this sense in my mind that I needed to then pray for this person's stomach. So I said, Lord, I pray for this person's stomach. I don't know what's going on there, but you do. I pray that you be with them and help them. Well, afterwards, this kid said to me, his teenager, I haven't even told my parents about the problem with my stomach. I've been to the doctor, though, and I don't know what's wrong. So then I was able to pray for this person. And then afterwards, it was about a few months later, I spoke to him again. He said, yep, those problems were gone. So I created the space. I asked. That happened, and I just felt that it was the right thing to do. Took a risk, you know, and it wasn't harmful in what I prayed, even if it was wrong. But it turns out that it was something that was amazing. The next one I want to tell you about is this one. And I think I have mentioned this before, but this is just a box full of notes. Bible verses, hymns, quotes. And there was a lady who felt led by God to write out notes for me. And so this lady started writing out notes. And she'd planned to write out notes for another 3 months. She hadn't finished by a long way, but she felt on this one day that she had to stop writing the notes and give me this box. And so she gave me the box and said, I was going to keep going for 3 months, but I really feel that God's telling me to give you this box today. Well, let me tell you, in my adult life, getting this box on that day was the day I needed to get this box to know that God was with me. The day. So God spoke through this lady to me using just amazing little things. But boy, oh boy, did it make a difference to me? Yeah, it did. There's another friend of mine just last week finishing a uni course, and he's going to start a job next year. And he's just said, I don't know where I'm going to go, but I know God is going to lead me to the right place. I know He is. The job that I get is going to be God's job, and I'm just going to keep on listening until I hear. So he hasn't got that job yet, but he's already saying, I'm trusting that God's going to use my skills in the right place. The last one, this you might say is subjective, but for me, it was enough to move me from Bendigo originally to Melton. And at this time, I had been praying, God, what do you want me to do? I don't know what to do. Should I move there, take this job or not? And I had this bunch of strawberries, and I'm like, these strawberries aren't growing. I'm going to pick them up, and I'm going to move them. So I picked them up, and I moved them, and I was down on the ground planting these strawberries in a place that was better sun. And then I was sort of saying to God, I don't want to move. This isn't good. I love being in Bendigo. And I felt it was these words came into my head, and it was, you know, you can move your strawberry plants, Trev. What if I want to move you? So I didn't argue. I moved. Hearing that, and it wasn't a hear, it was a I heard. I knew I could go. I knew I should go. I knew I had to go. I don't know where you are in your everyday life. Everyone will be in a different spot. But I'm really convinced that for us, God's church, He wants to really empower us, not just to exist, but to live life to the full, and also to take the message of the good news of God in Jesus, of His new kingdom, a redeemed kingdom, beyond ourselves, beyond the church, into other places. And one of the things that, in order for it to be effective, we must have is God's voice at work within us. And so, friends, I pray that we will, as a church, as individuals, will be saying, "Speak, Lord." Now, to Samuel, his listening and speaking when he heard it had a formative change to the nation of Israel, the people of God, and then so on to salvation history. And I wonder what impact our church, our lives will have as we listen, as we hear, and as we speak. At times we, and certainly our world, desperately need to hear the voice of God. And I pray that we won't miss out on any of those words, but rather we'll ask, we'll listen. And then if there's anything He wants us to say or do, that we'll have the wisdom to ask those around us if we feel we've got it, and then we'll have the courage to speak. Let me pray for us. It's a simple prayer. Speak, O Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. Of God. Amen. Mm-hmm.